Recently, we've done 6-packs. We've done 4-packs. Couple of things today. One will be the Frank Caliendo experience, my first time, and exploring once again phrases that shouldn't exist. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Pin Chasers. They're back with us for football season, and Pin Chasers has Bowl Fest the entire month of August. Buy one, get one, all month long, culminating with the Labor Day Marathon, unlimited bowling on Labor Day from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. for only $12 per person. So, to recap, buy one game, get one free all August long. Then once we get to Labor Day, unlimited bowling, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. for only $12 per person. If you show up at Pin Chasers on Labor Day at 9 a.m., plunk down your $12, and you bowl until 9 p.m., I want photographic evidence of what your hand looks like and how your arm and wrist feels the next day. That's a lot of bowling. That's too much bowling, in my opinion. But that's what Anthony Peroni and family offer at Pin Chasers, 4 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Thank you, Anthony, for what you do. Buy one, get one game all August long. That's Bowl Fest. And that all leads up to the Labor Day Marathon, which we've got time to talk about as well. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm, serving the greater Tampa Bay area. I may be at the Brandon location for Pin Chasers on Wednesday with Brandon Legal Group. I'm not inviting you to come out and join us for lunch. No, I'm actually not. I'm just talking about how this all runs together. I thank Sean and Jeremy from Brandon Legal Group for their continued support of what we do podcast-wise and golf tournament-wise. Brandon Legal Group would like me as a paid non-attorney spokesperson to remind you that over a year ago, Ron DeSantis eliminated permanent alimony from Florida law. If you are an adult male that is a resident of the state of Florida and you continue to pay permanent alimony, at this point, you have thrown away money for over a year because it's not the law in Florida. You need a free consult from Brandon Legal Group to get in front of a judge to eliminate or reduce your financial obligation as it relates to permanent alimony. BrandonLegalGroup.com, 813-902-3576, 813-902-3576, Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. Stop paying permanent alimony. For those of you saying, Todd, this seems to hit close to home. No, I've never been married. Part of it is scared off by many things, including that, which is no longer the law in the state of Florida. So that's good. Does that make me more likely to get married? Probably not. But okay. Right.todd@yahoo.com. Right.todd@yahoo.com. Before the storm came in to the state of Florida over the weekend, I bought a table at Side Splitters Comedy Club in Carrollwood for my friends to see Frank Caliendo live. I used to not be a fan of Frank Caliendo. And then I just sort of realized after a while, he's pretty good at what he does. And I said to myself, let's go see him live. Might be entertaining. Might be a good show. Good reason to get some of my friends together. So I bought a table for 4 for the early show on Friday night at Side Splitters. Before we talk about Frank, let me compliment Side Splitters. I've been going to that Side Splitters for quite some time. I wouldn't call myself a regular, but I would imagine I've gone in there for around 10 to 12 shows in my life. I've seen Gilbert Gottfried there. I've seen Jim Jefferies there. Those were good shows. I've seen a very baked Norm Macdonald there who just wouldn't leave the stage and wouldn't end the show. So we left, and we weren't alone. And I saw a very drunk, incoherent Gary Valentine and should have asked for my money back. So you get good and you get bad. Also saw a local guy. I haven't heard about this guy in a while. I think he's still Ron Hortman. Nice guy, funny guy. First at Side Splitters. Seen my friend Al Romas at Side Splitters. Hasn't done Side Splitters in a while, but Al's always fun to watch, whether it's on a cruise ship or it's anywhere in the state of Florida. So Side Splitters was ready. There are a lot of businesses out there that don't care about the customer service experience and are often understaffed for when they are busy, which makes no sense because that's when they should be at their best, is when they know they have a lot of money and a lot of people coming in. One example, Busch Gardens. Busch Gardens, understaffed. It's why I don't maintain a fun card or anything with them. Gave it up a couple of years ago. Every time I went, I was disappointed by something. I know they can't control the weather with the rides, but to me it was a staffing issue with everything else. I wasn't having a good time there. We had a good time at Side Splitters, and it was all hands on deck. They were ready. It wasn't just servers serving drinks and running food. You could tell it was managers. It was other people. The show started on time, ended on time. No issues. No issues getting in. No issues with the show. No issues with the room. No issues getting out. And let me also say, Roscoe Nash, who we met after the show, we didn't seek him out. He was just hanging out outside. And we started talking to him, and we thanked him for his performance. And he was a really good guy. Now follow him on social media. We've exchanged messages. Look, I'm not golf buddies with him. He did a good job as the opening act or whatever they call it, the feature before the headliner of Frank Caliendo. The whole night, by the way, was also very clean. I don't need all of my entertainment to be clean, but too often I find that there are people in the comedy business who just think using a profanity is a punchline, and that's lazy. So I don't like lazy. And there wasn't a lot of profanity in this show, and it was fun. So Roscoe was good, and Frank Caliendo was very good. He was really good. I also liked, about halfway through the show, he said, "You guys realize by now you don't even need to be here. It's just Frank doing impressions, doing his thing. And you know he has rehearsed this and done it in his house, and he's done it on Fox NFL Sunday." And then at the end, basically, excuse me, it's like request. He's like, is there anyone I haven't done who you'd like to hear? And it was at that point that he did his John Gruden. And I didn't realize until later, because I was sitting next to, not at my table. No, Rick Stroud sat at the next table. This is total coincidence. Rick Stroud from the Times covers the Buccaneers, and his wife, Valerie, who still to this day has pulled one of the best pranks on me live at a huge Outback Bowl party that anyone has ever pulled on me. Rick told me Gruden was in the audience. So near the end of the show, Caliendo, in Tampa at Side Splitters is doing his great impersonation of Coach Gruden as John Gruden was in our audience. Not something that happens every day. Yeah, so good show from Frank. Thank you to Roscoe Nash, and a thank you to Side Splitters for being a great host for the night. Also, in a time where everything costs so much, let's offer the praise. I'm sure Side Splitters get some of the praise, but Frank Caliendo is going to get some of this praise also. It was $30 for me to buy each seat at the table, then a $3 like convenience fee, and then tax on top of that. So it was, I don't know, $140 total for me to get four of us, our own table, to watch Frank Caliendo do a Friday night comedy show live. Base price before the fees and taxes, $30 to see that show. That's phenomenal value, especially nowadays. So very happy with that. Frank, I apologize for everything I privately said negatively about you for many years. I changed my tune years ago, but I had it all wrong. You seem like a good guy. You gave us a good show. Your impressions are really, really good. And how he delivers them, very well done. So there's a positive from the weekend. And then we're getting ready for the storm, and certain parts of Florida got it worse than other parts. And for those of you that got the worst of this, I feel for you. I really do. Florida has been my home since the mid-1970s. I've talked about it. I was the grandson thrown in the back seat of the car when my grandfather and my grandmother decided they were moving from Cincinnati. You drive down 75 and they want to spend the rest of their years on the beaches in the state of Florida, and it happened to be in this area. And I had a wonderful childhood as a result of growing up on the beaches of the Tampa Bay area, the Gulf beaches, and because I was with my grandparents. And when Elena was the big one I dealt with my grandparents, because that was 85. I was in high school. My grandparents and I had to evacuate the house. Were we in the house? Yeah, we were still in the house in Reddington Shores on 180th Avenue. So we had to evacuate, and we went to an evacuation shelter that was the auditorium of my high school. That was our evacuation shelter. And my grandparents went there, and then I stayed with some friends just up the road from Seminole High School, the Robbins family. I was very good friends with Rob. I was a classmate of Rob's, and I spent a lot of time at his house, much to the chagrin of Rob's dad, who at the time, I believe, was the police chief of the city of St. Petersburg. It was either the city of St. Petersburg or Pinellas County. But Hal always gave me a hard time, but he knew I could take it. And then there was Pat, his wife, who was just terrific. And then Rob's two sisters. And they had a little dog that I actually got along with, and I don't do well with animals. So I stayed there. My grandparents stayed in the high school, and we dealt with Elena, which just was out there in the Gulf of Mexico and just didn't move for hours, for like a couple of days. It just freaking sat there. And, you know, this is back before the internet. So everyone's just listening to terrestrial radios and, you know, trying to get access to a television to know what the hell's going on. That was sort of my first dose of all that. And I remember my grandmother just kind of saying around all that immediately after and for the rest of her life, well, that's the price of paradise. So tropical storm, and then later Hurricane Debbie comes through. And I know many of you listening to me are connected some way to the greater Tampa Bay area or in some way to Florida. So this doesn't involve you. If you've never lived in Florida, the Carolinas, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, you don't know what this is like. Maybe you experienced it on a vacation or something, especially if you were in a coastal area. But you don't know. It bothers me when people from other parts of the country don't empathize with what we deal with or don't think it's a big deal. And I dealt with someone like that out of the New York area earlier today. It kind of reminded me of when I was still working for ESPN in a year where multiple storms impacted the Tampa Bay area, the Central Florida area. And I think we were on the third one that did it. And I remember Louise telling me, you know, from her boss that, yeah, you know, you're going to need to do a show tonight. And I just paused. She's like, hello? And I said, I heard you. She's like, okay, so you'll do the show tonight? I said, how? She's like, I don't understand. I said, exactly. I said, do you realize what's going on down here? How much standing water there is, how much flooding there is. It wasn't Louise's fault. Power outages, internet outages. It was clearly a request from someone with no knowledge of the situation. So get educated. Ask me questions before you make mandates. I understand I'm your employee. That stuck with me. So if you are outside one of those states, or if you've never dealt with something like that, understand. You know, this would be the equivalent of if there was a mudslide or an earthquake out in California or similar with some of the wildfires. I don't offer advice or say things to those people that I know that may be affected by that because I have no knowledge. I don't want to sound stupid nor ignorant. Return the favor to those of us in the coastal regions of the Gulf of Mexico and the lower Atlantic with these things, because there are going to be more of them this summer, and they're going to affect our lives, and they affect our lives significantly more than you would think. In that vein, I'll leave you with this. I think I said somewhere during one of my COVID podcasts, I talked about the phrase I liked least in our vernacular. I don't know why the phrase was invented. I don't know where it came from. I just wanted to express how much I disliked it because the phrase was a waste of time. That phrase that still to this day makes me roll my eyes and I feel the same about it, the phrase, quote, it is what it is. I've already said my piece on that. Everything I said about it then still applies today. What's the phrase? Okay, so am I supposed to say here, hold my beer? There's a new phrase. Is two words a phrase? There's a new phrase that now bothers me more than it is what it is. Stay safe. Stay safe. stay safe. Hey, stay safe. Stay safe. Where did this come from? Somewhere between 9/11 and COVID, this phrase happened. And I heard it so much as a resident of the state of Florida as it related to Tropical Storm / Hurricane Debby over the weekend and into today, which is Monday, August 5th. Stay safe. Stay safe. Heard it on radio, heard it on television, heard it from people on the street, people I'm dealing with. Where did this come from? And before I did this podcast, I did do a search. I still want to read this book called 100 Things We've Lost to the Internet. Because I did the sample on Audible of this book, and it's more than you think. I'm intrigued by this book. Granted, the internet provides us with a number of things that I don't want to give up. So I actually did a search for others who have a problem with the phrase stay safe, and I found there were others. I'm not going to imply that it's a majority of people, because I think there are more people who say stay safe than there are people like me who don't like being told stay safe. I ran it by my friend Drew Garabo from 102.5 The Bone. Drew talked about it more specifically with weather coverage. Says it's one of those stupid cliches that usually comes after the term hunker down. My friend Jay Reynolds, who I worked with at ESPN, always liked when someone who was live in the field covering weather talked about rain falling sideways, because Jay Reynolds' point was, well, if it's falling sideways, it's not falling. So I understand that the television person, the radio person, the person directly addressing me in real life, in real time, saying stay safe means no harm. They mean no harm by saying it. I get that. But it implies sensitivity, imminent danger. I don't like it. So if you are someone who has thrown around that phrase for any reason the last near 25 years, can you come up with something else to convey the same message? Because just know that stay safe irks more people than just me. It gives off a negative vibe that you're not looking to give off. I'm sure I'll hear it again in the next 30 minutes after I complete this podcast, and I will just try to nod and smile and go about my business. But yeah, I'd rather hear it is what it is today than someone else telling me
to stay safe.
The Todd Wright Toddcast, presented by Brandon Legal Group, and Pin Chasers. That's the last time I eat cereal right before doing the podcast. Could you tell that something got stuck in my throat there? My email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. We'll talk to you next time.